Yecheskel Perek Yud Aleph, Le'ili Nishmas, Rav Avram Nisanel Ben Shalomo, for Rafua Shalema, for all those who need it. So, in tragic detail, we just heard a narrative of the departure of the Shekhinah from the Beis HaMikdash, but in the meantime, there remains a group of people who were kind of left in the middle of the action back in Perek Ches, and these are the 25 men who were worshiping the sun. Back at that point in the inner chatzer of the Beis HaMikdash, they were unidentified. We're going to see the leaders of the group in a moment. So, according to Radak and Abarbanel, this is a throwback to continue that nevuah and to elaborate on it in terms of what happened in that vision that he saw. The Malbim says that this is a new vision because he is being moved to a different part of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's seeing them proceeding onward. It's interesting, Rabbi Breuer points out, that the text does not refer to an act of active sun worship, but the attitude they display as leaders in the midst of the people reflects an outlook on life shaped by the worship of nature and its forces. The notion of the supremacy of blind physical forces to the exclusion of all moral considerations. So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that these are the same 25 men. But it is interesting that we live in a time, for me to make my own little connection, where we have kind of blind worship of technology, of physical forces to the exclusion of all moral considerations. After several days of grading essays by students who all jump right to ChatGPT without thinking about it, I can tell you that moral considerations don't even enter the equation. It's just, what can technology do for me to make my life easier, regardless of whether I learn anything out of it? If that is the position of the princes of the people, of the leaders, then Klal Yisrael was in pretty dire straits. Vatisa osi ruach, says Pasuk Aleph. So a wind picked me up. Vatavei osi el sha'ar beis Hashem akadmoni haponeh kadima. And it brought me to the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash that faced eastward. So these are people facing away from the Beis HaMikdash, which is in the western part of the court. So they're facing out of the gate, looking outward from the Beis HaMikdash compound rather than inward, turning their backs on the Heichal and on the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim, which, as we saw before, was an act of terrible disrespect. And in the entranceway of the gate, there were 25 men, the same that we saw before. Rashi says, again, here we're going to get some names. Vo'era b'socham es Ya'azanya ben Azur. And I saw among them two specific people, Ya'azanya ben Azur, and v'es Pilatyahu ben Binayahu, Sarei Ha'am. And Pilatyahu, the son of Binayahu, the leaders of the people. And I hope that this Binayahu is not anywhere near the same Binayahu that we know way back when in the days of Shlomo. This is 400 years later, so it's doubtful. But could it be the same family? Could it be families of Kohanim? Entirely possible, if the names got handed down through the generations. So these are leaders of Klal Yisrael. And there they are. Now, it is interesting, some of the Malbim suggests that the eastern gate is the eastern gate of the Har HaBayis and not the eastern gate of the Heichal or the Chatzer, which would mean that these are two different gates where the Navi is standing and where the people are standing. According to most of the Mefarshim, the simple meaning is that they're both in the same place and the Navi is being shown a vision of them. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Ben Adam, Elehu Anoshim HaChoshvim Oven. Son of man, these are the men who connive, who plot iniquity. Chet. Oven. V'hayoatzim atzas ra bo'ir hazos. And give evil counsel in this city. Which, remember, we saw in the previous parak, the Malach picking up the coals to go wipe out the city by fire from above. Gimel ha'omrim lo v'karov b'nos batim. the ones who say, it is not near, lo karov, it's not coming anytime soon. So they prophesy the idea that there's no doom hanging over Klal Yisrael. That, Zuk Rashi, that the words of the Nevi'im, Yavo Divrei HaNevi'im Aleinu, it's not going to happen anytime soon. We don't have to worry. We're fine where we are. We're just fine. I mentioned C.S. Lewis before. I read the Narnia books a lot as a kid. And there's a bunch of dwarves sitting in a stable in the middle of paradise in the book The Last Battle, the end of the Narnia books. And they say, oh, everything's wrong here. Everything's terrible here. Well, this is the opposite. They're trying to fool themselves into thinking everything's perfect and denying the reality that it's all about to collapse around their ears. Hi hasir v'anachnu habasar. We should build houses. I'm sorry, I missed a little phrase there. Benos batim, build houses. Everything is fine. Put up your fancy house in Brownsville in the 1950s. It's not like the neighborhood's going to turn and we're going to have to go. No, let's set down roots. Everything's going to be fine. Hi hasir v'anachnu habasar. It is the pot and we are the meat. So Rashi says that this is a metaphor for the idea that just like you don't take the meat out of the pot at gemar bishulo until it's finished cooking, so we're not going to leave here either until we're cooked, until we die. We're not going into Gullus. We have nothing to worry about. It's not going to happen in our lifetime, in our future. The rest of our natural lives, we're going to stay here in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim's not cooked yet. Plenty of time. Hurricane Milton is coming. I'm not leaving town. Therefore, prophesy against them. Alehem, upon them, but also about them, or even against them, son of man. Tell them the opposite, says Mesudas David, of what they're saying. And repeats, Hinaveh, to urge him on. This is an urgent matter. You have to do it immediately.